The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show.
Welcome to the show. I am so happy to be back. So today we're doing an April favorite, and it's April 30th. So I still have one more day, but I figure you might as well just enjoy what I did. I read about 12 books this month. It was a shorter month. So let's see. What has been the reason why I'd slowed down? So I would tell you, I started the month reading the Zodiac Academy series, and those books are long. And by long, I mean the last three books were like 800, 900, 1200 pages long. So it was like basically like reading like three or four books in one book. So I was reading the Zodiac Academy and I was listening to them at night. I was just like trying to get through them. And I would tell you the first seven books were so addictive. They were just like, the first seven books were addictive. They were just like, you knew what you were going to get into it. You were enthralled with the life of Tori, the heirs, Darcy, and what you want to get out of it. And then we hit book eight, which is where I'm stuck. I read about 500 pages of book eight. When I finished book seven, I was promised that book eight was the final book. It was like, it ended a really big cliffhanger where things were just happening and we were like, holy crap, like how are you going to get out of this? And we were promised that book eight will be the final book and it will just all be resolved. And lo and behold, when I entered book eight, they're like, oh no, never mind. It's actually going to be another book. It's going to be book nine. And book eight is actually 1200 pages long. And I was fine with it because I was like having fun with it. I was just enjoying the whole story, but there's like something missing. There's a missing character. And I was just like, I was just not connecting. I was like, I need to know how this is all going to resolve, but I'm not willing to spend 1200 pages of like a filler information that doesn't make any sense. I think it's one of the reasons why I never finished Throne of Glass series is because there was like, we were promised a Tower of Dawn, which is the Kale novella. We were promised a novella and it's actually like a 500 page book, or I don't know how long it is, but it's a full book. And it's like all this information that has nothing to do with the main characters and why am I doing this? And I know it makes sense in the long term, but I really don't want to read that book. And so I stopped finishing. I reread Throne of Glass and I ended up being stuck in the same book that I stuck the last time. So yeah, so I don't know if I'm going to finish the Zodiac Academy. If it comes book nine, I may look at the spoilers and may see like, okay, is it worth it? And if it's book nine, it's the final book. If it's not the final book, then I'm probably not going to finish because I think the story should be over. It's a great series. It's a great fun. I recommend reading it. I would say it's just immersive, addictive. You can't stop reading. You're like so involved with it. It can become your whole personality. Like that's the type of series that I love. And so that's what I loved about the series. Yes, the writing is like not beautiful. It's just like clunky and there's like some stereotypes, but the things that I love of the series that allow me to just enjoy. So I had a lot of fun reading it. I'm just annoyed at book eight. So that's how I started my month. And I was like, I think I read through the first 2 weeks. I was just reading Zodiac Academy. Like I was telling my friend Amy, I was like, what are you reading? I'm like, I'm still in Zodiac Academy. Like nothing took me away from that. I did start reading some nonfiction. I read a couple, like not regular nonfiction, like self-helpy books, were more like, interesting. So I read a book about time management, like just kind of like looking at it from a different perspective. I read a book about trauma and someone who grew up with child trauma and like what things they did to overcome it, which is interesting because I think I mentioned in this podcast, but I actually have been undergoing some therapy, like an additional therapy for this since I started this year. I'm about to end the therapy very soon. And so I've spent about 3 months like delving into my childhood trauma. I have a lot of things. I have like, I have my mental health issues, and we'll talk about this later. I've been dealing with them since the age of 18. And so I've actually like having the time and space and the safety net to just feel like, okay, can I indulge in this stuff, you know, that actually has making an impact in my life. So I did that, and it's been great. It's been awesome. It's like in a sense of like just being in acceptance where I am where I need to be. But it has, because I've been doing that, I've been journaling more. I've been just trying to do creative projects. So I'm pursuing a creative project, which is right now a secret project, but it'll come through in like in a few years, may come up, or a few months, who knows. So it's allowed me to do that, and so my reading has shifted differently. What I ended up reading, I did not read any KU books this month, other than the Zodiac Academy. I needed a break from that, and so I've been reading like traditional published books. I feel like a basic girly. I've been like, let me just read what's popular and stuff like that, and so. I had a friend who was like, I want to read a romantic comedy. Will you read it with me? And I was like, sure. So I ended up buying it. And lesson learned, I should just wait for the library hold to come in, because the library hold came in like the day after I finished the book. But these two books, the first two books I did buy, and then the library hold came in. So lesson learned, just wait to the library. But it's still pretty cool. So the first one is romantic comedy by Curtis Sinofield. It's a literary fiction take on romantic comedies. It's not like a regular rom-com that you're just like, here's the information, here's the stuff. It's a take on a like what will be a romantic comedy. And it poses a question of why playing comedians fall in love with like celebrity stars, like, you know. So it's based on the SNL, like a whole week of SNL, like with an SNL writer who's a female writer and a celebrity who is a singer, actor, all-star celebrity who's been famous. And so they have this connection and she fucks it up, you know, royally. She's like, oh, you just stay models. And he was like, no, I don't. So they have a connection. She fucks it up. And then they reconnect thanks to the pandemic because... And it's like such a telling. It needed to be in the pandemic. It was the right time to set, because there's like some sort of like, you know, instant connection that happens. So this book is pandemic heavy. It's only three chapters, and the second chapter is all pandemic. It's set in July 2020, which, if you remember that time, we were isolated. We didn't have vaccines. We're overcoming the Black Lives Matter movement. We're just like going all these different places. And there was a lot of uncertainty. And so they reconnect. They spend about a week emailing each other. It feels like months, but because at the time we did not have anything to do, they had all the time in the world to email each other. And so we see that whole process, and they reconnect, and love happens. It does end with a happily ever after. So if you're worried about that, it does end with a happily after. So it's a romance, but it's still like, I think the plot is the character arc of like understanding this point of view. So it takes on, it's smart, it's written. I personally appreciate it for my own life. Like I found it, it was really smartly written. And it just like looked at the romance as a place for me to look at it. I'm like, oh, like this is what it makes sense. And these are my insecurities. And so it helped me kind of like understand the insecurities that I have in a relationship and how to overcome them. And that's what sometimes why I read books is not just because I want to escape from books, but also want to learn something from me. So I learned from that. So that's romantic comedy by Curtis Sinofield. The next book that I read was Adelaide by Genevieve Wheeler. So this book has been pitched over like the few weeks leading up to the publication as like, you know, toxic relationships, Sally Rooney, normal people, tell me lies, like, you know, have like a relationship that's just toxic itself and all these different things. And I was like, I was very curious about it because I love toxic relationship. I love relationships that are just like, I love reading them. I don't love having them in my personal life, but I love reading them. And so it does have, he's not a sociopath. They're just basically in their 20s who have not gone to therapy and have not dealt with their own issues. And, you know, and I think, and they're looking at relationship to fulfill, to fit those mold and to fulfill, like to fix your problems. And Yeah, it's a lot of it. So it reminded me in my 20s when I was living on untreated mental health, where I was just like going through depression, anxiety, eating disorder, you know, trying to fix it, trying to fit into the world and trying to be perfectionism and have to succeed in a job and succeed in a thing and be like focused on hyper focused on everything outside of yourself as opposed to inside of yourself. It's a really good book. The writing is beautiful. And as someone who likes bad writing, it was like uncomfortable for me. Like I personally like writing to be like more, I don't know, like beautiful writing for me distracts me. But if you like beautiful writing, this book is for you. But if you're like, you know, just regular your 20s, like this. So the book is about that, about an expat girl who goes to London for grad school and decides to stay. And she starts dating this guy who is pretty much emotionally unavailable. And so we just see this relationship like come through and all those different things. And we see the character, her character, like being in her 20s, trying to come up with like trying to figure make sense of it all. So it's good. So it's exciting. So yeah. So that's Adelaide by Genevieve Wheeler. So the next book that I read was Yours Truly by Abby Jimenez. And so this is like a little, this was like a nice change of pace. I started Yours Truly a few months ago because I do get access to advanced readers copies. And one of the things that I do is that I start reading the books, and if I like them, then I pick them up later on. It's a bad habit that I started when I was like, I get too many books at the same time, and I'm like, I don't know which one I'm gonna read, so I just start them, and then I'm like, I just put them down, and then I just like wait for a few months to read them. So I started Yours Truly a few months ago, and I started with like the chance encounter where they hated each other, and he's just like, he has social anxiety and he was just like not sure like how to overcome it. So but he was attracted to her, and there, but she was like, she just got out of a terrible divorce, and she was just like, she wanted a promotion, she was like all over the place. And so they both have their own trauma, their own thing, and they have to overcome, and it works for them. It's really good. It is funny, it is heartfelt, it has deals with real life problems. You, as always, Abby's has an author's note, it tells you what she was based on. It's a really touching note. So I would say Yours Truly, if you're looking for like, you know heartfelt romance that you're probably gonna cry, you're probably gonna laugh at the same time, Yours Truly by Abby Jimenez will be the next one for you. The next two books are books that I finished yesterday. So the first one is Will Day, One Day by Ava Wilder. This book features my favorite niche trope, which is second chance romance, which meets enemies to lovers. So they broke up, they had a messy breakup, they hate each other, and they have to come together. And there's groveling. I don't think there's groveling in this one, so because both of them fucked it up. So it's just like an interesting take on. So both actors are part of a series, long running series, and she leaves the series and they just stop talking to each other, and then they meet again in the upfront and they hate each other. So as the novel starts, we start uncovering why they hate each other, like what happened. We start dissecting the relationship. And so she comes back to the series from one last season and they have to come together. And like there's terrible things inside, like they don't like each other. It's a lot of tension, it's a lot of things, and they're trying to like make it work because the whole series is about them as a couple. So they go to a couple's therapy. They have like, you know, he does Saturday Night Live, and it's not a good season. It's not a good episode, and all the things that happen to be a celebrity in a long running show of the paranormal. So those shows actually do go to cons and stuff like that. So we get to see that. It's fun. It's a good rom com. And then the final book that I read yesterday was Best Man by Sydney Carter. I finished this one because I was like, I interviewed the author and I was like, he's a screenwriter, he likes rom-coms, I think this might be a fun fit for me. And it was. So this is a male gay best friend, you know, opposites attract romance, set in a wedding, setting your best friend's wedding, planning. So we get to see a bridal shower, we get to see a bachelorette party at Fire Island. We get to see, like, try to figure out, like, how the wedding's going to look like and the planning and all those different things. And we get to see what it's like to live in New York. And as someone who lives in New York, who lived in New York for 14 years, it's a unique place to be, because there's like a culture that you take for granted when you're there. But once you're out there, you're like, this is ridiculous. Like, this shot, he mentions the just salad culture, which is like, just salad is kind of like, it's like sweet green, but it's like a cheaper sweet green that sells like a color bowl that you buy for $1. And then you bring it up and you get a dollar discount, you get an extra topping. So people would just come to this just salad. You had to clean the bowl and just come to the bowl and give them that bowl. It's like a whole process. And then you had to come and yell at them, like, to the salad artisans, like, here's what I want with salad. And you want to be like, you have to be very clear what you want. And it's like, it's a whole vibe. And there's always a line, and it's always like during the, it's close to the office. I have one close to my office, and it was like, I had to go there at 11:30, because if I go to 12, I would just miss my whole lunch hour. So it's like a whole freaking vibe, not just ordering. That's all. So there's that. There's the whole Fire Island, you know, culture of, like, you know, the questions you get asked, the specific things, like, the what do you expect to do? What do you expect to be? There's also, like, the sense of, like, you know, being in a job that you hate. I don't know about you, but I've been in jobs that I hated. And, like, it doesn't fit you, but you have to do it for the money, because you're like, you like your life. You need the money in your life. And so it just reminded me of so much of, like, my life in New York, and like the things that I miss about it, and things I'm grateful for, and the things I'm like, thank God I no longer live there. But it's a really fun, it does New York justice. It's like one of those books I'm like, everyone who thinks about moving to New York should read this book. And it's just a fun romp. It's like fun rom-com. It does have homage to romantic comedies in many ways. So that's Best Man by Sydney Garger. And that comes out, I think, this coming month of May. So what I'm actually reading, I'm actually halfway through Business or Pleasure by Rachel Lynn Solomon, which is another celebrity romance, but it's a little different. She's a ghostwriter who's writing his memoir. And it poses the question, what happens after a failed one-night stand where the sex is really bad? And let me tell you, it's bad. And you're going to have to come together and work together in this, like, memoir, and then to come to have the communication, but like, actually, you're not good at bed. This is a fresh contemporary take on lessons in seduction, where the heroine is teaching the hero how to have good sex. It's a lot of communication, it's a lot of steamy, it's spicy. It does have a stake on, it's set in different cons, because he's a C-list celebrity who does a lot of conventions. So it's just fun. So I'm reading that, and I'm enjoying it. I'm like halfway through. So very exciting things. What I hope to read this month, I would say a couple of things that I end up doing this month is I cancel my Audible subscription, because I was not using my credits, and I was just like, and I was not using the sale. So I'm going to wait till the next really big sale to restart my Audible subscription and buy as many audiobooks as possible and just call it a day. The other way I approach Audible is I actually buy Kindle Unlimited books and you whisper sync them. So there's like $7.49. So that's how I approach like buying books. But I have 4 credits. So I ended up buying the double series by Elizabeth O'Rourke, which is like a fun rom-com. She was on a show last week and she talked about how different the series is, more like fun and banter and just like fun to do. So I have that series to read, to listen to at night. And then I want to go back to KU books. I haven't like read a KU book in other than like the Zodiac Academy. So I'm looking forward to see what's new, what's fun, what's different. You know, we picked Rockstar Romance next month for the book club. So that's hopefully, that's going to be like, you know, a winner. We have The Words by Ashley Jade. I do have the audiobook. It's a long book, but I heard it's great. So we'll see. So that's pretty much it for today. I hope you have a great day. Bye. If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening, and happy reading.